John chapter 8, starting in verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. The Jews answered him, Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophet. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God. But you have not known him, I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. You may be seated. Now, as we've been going through this book of John, the Holy Spirit had John repeat many things many times. The deity of Christ, the relationship with Jesus and his Father. And we see how the Jewish leaders continue to confront Jesus with disbelief. So we see exchange after exchange, time and time again. And what do we see? What do we see in these exchanges? We see a pattern of sinful men, unregenerate men. And that's what we'll look at today. That'll be part of it. And we'll look at our Lord's response. You know, Jesus continues and continues to share truth. He's sharing truth. And that's how it starts out with the Jewish leaders. Jesus talks to them, and they talk to him. They believe one thing, Jesus tells them absolute truth. Jesus keeps telling them absolute divine truth. And what do they do? What do they do, the ones who are in error? They start to get emotional. You know, and this is what happens even in our lives today. If we have a discussion with somebody and we disagree, usually it's the person on the side of falsehood. Even though they believe it with all their own heart, they don't have the facts to prove it, they start getting emotional because their position is undefendable. So what do they do once the emotion takes over logic? The next step is they demonize the person. They start spreading falsehoods about the person. They do everything they can to assassinate the character of the person. because they cannot defend their opinion or their beliefs with intelligence. They want to destroy the personhood. You know, we see it in the political arena today. And it keeps escalating. More and more slanderous statements, more and more falsehoods. And eventually, if not unchecked, they've already killed the person. They killed his character. They will lead to violence and physically kill him. That's what they did to Jesus. Many Christians today, it's the same thing. They will be killed. Maybe not in this country. But when you look at the rhetoric going around with some people, if they could get away with it, I think some of them would like to kill believers. So that's what we'll be looking at a little bit today, and we'll see how this is repeated in these verses. But you know, one thing that we have to realize, it is the Christian faith that is attacked. It is the Christian faith that they don't want in politics. It's the Christian faith that they want to keep out of the schools. Now, even in Markazan, I remember they're squawking about, oh, we got can't keep have anything Christian in the schools. But yet they'll teach about Muslims, they'll teach about Indians, American Indians, and Indians from Asians, any other religion. And they'll say, well, it's cultural heritage, but not Christianity. Why? Because all false religions are of Satan. They're all the same thing. It's Satan's lies. His house is not divided. His enemy is Christians. That's why it is a Christian church that will be continually attacked. Christians will be attacked because we hold the truth. All these other religions, you can lump them together. They're of Satan. So again, I'm just going to the four points of sinful men, you know, the discussion of beliefs on what I believe, you believe. Starts off nicely. Second point, the discussion changes to emotional debate. Logic is thrown to the side, and it's on the part of the person who does not have the truth. Facts are disregarded. Facts don't matter. It's what they believe that matters. It trumps the facts. Name calling begins from the side that cannot verify their position. They try to demonize the other person. And if left unchecked, it leads to physical violence or even killing. But what example does Jesus give? What example does Jesus give as we go through these verses? We see the unbelief of the Jewish leaders, and they hate him. He knows they hate him. They want him dead. They've already reached the point of verbal abuse and attempts of physical abuse. Our Lord responds with divine truth and then divine invitation. Divine truth and divine invitation. He demonstrates mercy, mercy, mercy. Those who despise him the most, he is constantly offering them salvation. And that's the patterns we'll see as we go through these verses today. Okay. So let's see the pattern. Jesus has just called them sons of Satan, and he gave them the reason why they're the sons of Satan. So they want to kill him, and they're liars. So what is their response? Now that's biblical truth. It may be harsh, but it's biblical truth. What he's saying is you're lost. You're under the influence of Satan. And your lives demonstrate it. And what did they say? You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And the Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Now, this seems to be their default position. They lose the factual arguments with Jesus. They reject the miracles. They reject all the signs and wonders. But they tell him, you got a demon. In Matthew and in Mark, they say he's possessed by Satan. He does all his works by the works of Beelzebub, which is another word for Satan. And here they call him a Samaritan with a demon. Well, it can't get worse than that if you're a Jew. Remember, the Samaritans were despised by the Jews because they were a mixed race. The Second Kings is given the history of the Northern Kingdom, which was taken into captivity at 722 B.C. They took the Jews out of the country, except some stragglers remained. They hid. They were the ones who didn't get caught. They moved in pagan people. The Jews that remained intermarried, took on some of the religious practices of the pagans. And in the Jews' mind, the pure Jews' mind, they had polluted their inheritance. And for years, they would not have any relationship with the Samaritans. So I remember the woman at the well. What did she say to Jesus? She says, Jesus, why are you talking to me? Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. It was widely known. So to call Jesus a Samaritan was about as low as it can go, but not quite, because they also say, you have a demon. You're a demon and you're a Samaritan. That was their mindset of Jesus. And just think about that. All the people he was healing, all the miracles he was doing. And you know, these guys, they knew he wasn't a Samaritan. Remember when they had to register, they had to go to their own town. Records were kept. They knew where he was from. But it didn't fit their position. So they're trying to demonize him. But you know, Jesus does not rail back at them. Again, he shows love and to declare the truth. But that shouldn't surprise us. In 1 Peter 2:23, it tells us, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He knew God the Father would judge them. He came as a suffering servant. You know, what an example for us to stick to. Keep our emotions in check when we're insulted, slandered, lied about. Stick to biblical truths. Oh, you're just one of them right-wing Christians. You're so dogmatic. I mean, they'll throw a lot of things at you. Stick to divine truth. Because Jesus answered, he answered them simple, I do not have a demon. Again, that's a divine truth. He did not have a demon. But I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. So now Jesus is going, and he is declaring more truth about himself, and more truth about the sinners. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. You see, Jesus again reaffirms his relationship with his Father. But he's also warning these religious leaders, if you dishonor Jesus, you are dishonoring God. And they are saying that God is our Father. And Jesus is saying, no, if you dishonor me, you are dishonoring the Father as well. And they have already been taught that by Jesus. In John 5:22, for the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. These are the Jews that heard these words from Jesus. Facts, factual truths about the Messiah, which they could search the scriptures, the Old Testament, and see. And in John 8:42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me." Jesus stays on track. He doesn't waver. All the insults and threats from his enemies do not distract him from doing his assigned task. He stays on task, his assigned mission, which is to seek and save the lost, which includes these rebellious religious leaders. In spite of their venom toward him, he continues to offer love and sharing divine truth and the way to eternal life. Here he gives that. "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never die." He's telling them, keep my word and you will have everlasting life. You will not face that second death. You know, he's telling them they're lost. You're the sons of the devil right now. You're under his influence. Keep my word and you will have life. He's offering them the greatest gift imaginable for any person on this earth. He stays on task. But how do these Jews respond to these divine truths? Do they check the scriptures? Do they check his genealogy? You know, the scriptures tell us that he in the Old Testament, he'll do signs and wonders. Some of the people got it. Remember in John 7:31, yet many people believed in him. They said, when the Christ appears, will he do more signs than this man has done? They're looking at the facts. Look at all the signs he's doing. Look at all the miracles. They were thinking logically, not emotionally. However, the Jewish leaders continued their verbal assault. The Jews said to him, "Now we know you have a demon." Now we know it. "Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Who are you? Who do you think you are?" We know what they think of him. We know the scorn. They're denying that Jesus is the Messiah. They're calling him a liar. Isn't that something? What do we read in our... If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Surely is true here with these guys. But Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Jesus responds to their disrespect and unbelief by giving more biblical truths. More biblical truths concerning himself. And those biblical truths, when you go contrary to them, how they are lost and sinners. But notice the humility here. If I glory myself, my glory is nothing. Jesus came as the humble servant to shine the light of God's glory into this darkened world, this dark, sin-filled world. Yes, he did expose the sins of men, which hurts when you are the sinner, when you are the one being exposed. But without understanding your sin, how can you seek forgiveness? But they would refuse it. They preferred their hardened hearts. But everything Jesus is doing here is out of love. Because the results, his desired results, are that they repent and are saved. You know, unfortunately, in the church today, many people feel we cannot mention hell or sin. But then they'll turn around and say, well, we have to be like Jesus. Well, Jesus here is talking about hell and sin and damnation. And yes, maybe that is a good way to witness, to scare the hell out of them. Part of our witnessing must be there is eternal consequences for your actions, and that is hell. And he did it with humility and love. But it was biblical truth. And there was always love in sharing all of God's truths. You know, in Philippians 2, 6, it tells us, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus is telling these people, if you truly know God, you would know me. I and God are one. But they refuse to believe. They refuse to believe the signs and the wonders. Jesus came in humility. You know, God will be glorified no matter what man thinks. His word will be glorified. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Yes, he came as a humble servant at this time, but he will come back in judgment. The Father will lift the Son up. In John 17, 7, his priestly prayer, he says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Jesus came humbly. He came humbly to these men, even though he could have crushed them. He could have destroyed them. But out of his love for mankind, including you and I, he demonstrated love. But for those who refuse, those who continue to refuse, they will bow to Jesus Christ. They will know him as Lord and Master and Judge. In Philippians 2:9, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, all these words that Jesus is saying to these people that are willing to kill him, are planning to kill him, are because of his great love, his humility. He would not destroy them at that time. They will be destroyed if they had not repented. They had not been released from their sins. But part of their problem is they didn't think they sinned. You know, Jesus brings up Abraham because they can continue to claim to be the sons of Abraham. That doesn't mean they're just the heritage of Abraham physically. What they're declaring is that they're holy like Abraham. They're the elected ones. They're going in. They're in heaven. We studied this, the message, one or two back. Where in their own writings, they said even the worst sinner, as long as they're a son of Abraham, they're in. Abraham stands on the gate and won't let him go to hell. That's their mindset. They didn't think they had sin. It was their spiritual claim. But you know what? Abraham looked into the future of the Messiah and had faith. And we looked at that messenger two back as well. And he rejoiced. Jesus tells me that your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. This is another invitation for him. Be like your father Abraham. Rejoice in me and be glad. Be saved. Again, love, love, love. Even though they're spewing out verbal abuse and hatred. So we see man's pattern in this. They heard the facts concerning Jesus. They saw the miracles, yet they attack him. Again, Jesus responded with more biblical truths. He offered them salvation, which resulted in them mocking him even more. So the Jews said to him, "You are not 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Again, they're calling Jesus a liar. There is no way you know Abraham. Not physically and not spiritually like us, because you're a Samaritan and you have a demon. You know, that's their mindset. Everything has to be looked at through their mindset of what they say. They've already concluded that he has a demon. So there's no way he can have any relationship to Abraham. But Jesus shares more divine truth. And this is the one that puts the Jews over the top. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. They knew exactly what Jesus was saying with that "I am" statement. The statement how God declares himself, "I am who I am." They got it. They knew enough of the scriptures to know that. But Jesus had been continually telling them that he's equal with God, that he is God. In their twisted minds, they felt he was a demon-possessed Samaritan who was blaspheming. And they had every right to kill him in their minds, which they tried to do. Because they were serving their prideful, self-serving, lustful flesh. And that was their true God. Think about it. You know, the Jewish system, their legal system, was actually a very good system set up. Witnesses, two or three witnesses, trials during the day. Witness, if they were caught lying, would receive the punishment that they were lying about. So if it would have been a capital offense and they lied about it, the capital offense would fall on them. It was a good system when they used it. But here, no trial, no witnesses, no nothing. They want to kill him. When they crucified him, same thing. Trial at night, witnesses that conflicted. It was just a scam. Any good system set up, any good legal system set up can be misused by wicked men. And this is a perfect example of that. We're so right, forget about any of the rules or the regulations. We're just going to knock this guy off right here and now. Sounds a little bit like our political stuff going on last week. So what would the Holy Spirit have us to take away from this portion of Scripture? Well, we definitely see the digressing of the heart of men when false truths overcome their souls. Again, they'll have a discussion. They disagree. They get emotional. They start to slander, demonize their opponent. No facts. Just throw out whatever they can. And unchecked, and if they had the opportunity, I believe they would kill him. Kill their opponent. For the believer, we must stand in the truth. We must continue to stand in the truth in spite of negative remarks, cold shoulders, people who do not want to hear the truth. We cannot let our emotions get the better of us. They hate God. They hate His message. It's not our message. It's His message. They hate His word. We're not the judge. God is the judge. They hate God as a judge. They'll say, oh, you're judging me. No, I'm not judging you. Look at the word of God. Read it yourself. It's there. But also, notice there is a time to walk away. There is a time when you do not cast pearls in front of swine. There is not times when you put yourself in danger. Now, I want to make this clear. Yes, people are martyred for Christ. But it isn't your goal to say, I'm going to go be martyred for Christ. Your goal is to preserve your life. Use your common sense. But if God so desires that you are martyred, it'll come about. But we are to be truth bearers, no matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult. And our prayer is that the Holy Spirit transforms their hearts. And that is what emotion we must have, the emotion of the fruits of the spirits, where we love, love and love, use wisdom, long-suffering, patience. A soul is at stake, and we may just be the conduit that God uses to bring people to salvation. And it's not an easy task, but God never told us it would be, did He? Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank You for Your written word, and I just pray that we stand as true witnesses for You, that we stand on Your word and Your truths, not ours, not our opinions, and that we let the chips fall where they may, but also that truth must be shared in love. And many times the wicked people, no matter how loving we share the truth, they will hate us and despise us. They did it to Jesus. They did it to Him. Let us use His pattern of witnessing the truth, the whole truth. All of God's word is profitable for instructing. Amen. The offering will be for the Bethany Christian Services. The deacons would come forward.